All right. Well, with that, it is now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Hannah.
My name is Hannah. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, honored to be here. I wasn't nervous until last week. I hear I am following Famous Phil. I'm like, really? Really? But, you know. Okay, so. The book talks about an alcoholic being a tornado. Wherever you go, you know, they leave a mess. I'm wondering how old I was when I got dubbed Hurricane Hannah. And I lived up to that name. People ask me about my childhood and what was it like. And some people, you know, say, oh, I had a good childhood. And I look back and I feel like that. I really do. I feel like I had a great childhood. I remember praying at the dinner table. I remember that being important. But as far as, like, family dynamic and other people, I was creating my own reality. That is, I know people kind of go back and forth as to whether you're born an alcoholic. I don't know, but I know that I was born selfish, self-centered, and I never thought about anybody but myself, and I thought that that was completely normal. I had no idea that other people were caring. My sister was always like, you know, if I fell, she'd pick me up. When I cried, she cried. And I was always like, stop. You're just trying to get attention. Stop trying to get my attention. You know? I honestly believe that she was doing that for herself. I had no clue that normal people actually care about other people. I see it now, though, looking back. I really created my own reality my entire life. I went into high school, and I always said I was stupid. My sister was smart. She always got A's, and I always said I was stupid, and looking back, I just never applied myself. I really don't know, you know, if I would have got A's. I just never tried, and I believe now I totally use that as an excuse. So my entire childhood, I learned that good or bad attention didn't really matter. As long as I was getting attention. And I got pretty dang good at getting attention. There was no such thing as authority in my life. Never, honestly. I remember being very young and my parents would try to take things away from me and I'm like, I don't really care, you know, or they ground me and I would sneak out. I manipulated my way into always getting my way. It didn't matter. I shouldn't have passed tons of my classes in high school, but I just kissed a lot of ass and got right through. I homeschooled almost my whole senior year, and I say to a lot of people I homeschooled because I want to be close to my super serious boyfriend, but it was really because if I would have missed, you know, four periods, I wouldn't have walked, and gosh, like, I have to walk, you know, I still have my pride to keep up. So when I was a junior in high school, my dad relapsed after, I think, 18 years of sobriety, and I could no longer make my own reality, although I was trying still very hard. What I thought was the perfect family was crumbling before me, and the person that every single person compared me to, I always was, oh, you are just like your dad. And it was fine until he was an asshole, until he left his family and what I felt like chose drinking or you know, other substances over his family. Then it wasn't so awesome to be just like my dad. So I kind of just gave up. Gave up on trying because I was scared. I had been around AA, and I am so thankful for that today. that I knew what this program, we were talking about that at dinner today. Oh my gosh, I cannot imagine not knowing what AA is. I grew up with it, and so it was very easy for me to come. I can't imagine not knowing, but Dad relapsed. I think that same year is when I actually started really drinking, and I remember the first time, I don't think I really got drunk. I was way too involved in boys, and I didn't know what it would do if I did get drunk. But shortly after that, I did. And, you know, they say, I don't know if I was born an alcoholic, but once I took that first drink, an alcoholic was born. And that is truly my story. It did anything I wanted it to do for me. If I wanted to feel prettier, I felt prettier. If I wanted to be more social, I was more social, although I didn't really have a hard time being social for the most part. But it did anything for me. If I was running from something, I could use alcohol to run. It just did what I wanted it to. And that was different. You know, some people are like, I was the most popular, smartest person. Some people say, you know, I was hiding from my feelings, I was running. Well, I was doing all those things. It was very different day to day. And it worked for every single one of them. And I do remember the first drunk, and everyone explains it the same. You know, I was throwing up, and it was a blackout, the very first drunk. A normal person would wake up and be like, I never want to do that again. I woke up and I was like, let's do that again. That was awesome. You know, and I remember the first time I used it to not feel, to actually run. I was very social at first, and so it was just to make me feel good at first, and it lied to me, you know. It didn't make us the most popular person in the room. It didn't make us the prettiest, but it lied to us, and we felt that way. And I bought the lie very quickly, but I do remember the first time I ran from my feelings, and I liked that even better. Even better, and that was the first night I actually used substances too, and it did something for me that I didn't know was possible. I felt complete peace. That boy I was obsessing over, I no longer gave a fuck. I could care less about him. It wasn't a big deal anymore. And I liked that. I had never felt that before because I'm an overthinker, or I'm a woman, as you can tell, and I overthink everything, and I'm overanalyzing, and I wish I could calm my mind down sometimes, and that did it for me. So after that, it was on and running. I remember someone saying, just don't ever buy this substance, Hannah. If you can just, you know, bum it off of other people, you know, it won't become a problem. The next day, I gathered up all my money, all of it, and decided I'm going for round two, you know, at my father's house. I did a lot of that. My dad was in his full-blown relapse, and it was very easy to manipulate that situation. He was never home, so I was throwing parties at his house and not getting in trouble because he felt like shit. He couldn't tell me, you know, stop. I loved terrorizing his new wife. That was tons of fun. Gosh, I look back on my poor lady. Yeah. But, and I used that for an excuse for a little bit until it got scary. I'm all or nothing in everything I do, every aspect of my life, and it was not very long. It was probably 6 months until I was scaring myself. I had multiple times where I was very close to overdosing. Alcohol poisoning was always like right on the verge, you know. And it was enough to where all my friends, and I remember this whole, I'm sure people relate to this, I'm hanging out with friends and then them just not being able to keep up or making me feel shitty about my drinking or my using. And I remember saying, okay, I'll never hang out with those people. Like, I remember the kind of corner people that would gather at the party, you know. I'll just never hang out with those people. I was soon with those corner people, you know, and burned my bridges, and I didn't like the way they stopped. I wanted to keep going. And then I remember that group of people that would leave like an hour before the party, when the party's kind of settling down, and they go to find more, you know, a better place to hang out. And so we don't have to do drugs in the bathroom. We can just do drugs in the living room together, you know. The people that pitched in on the drugs and not just tried to. So I remember being like, I'm just never going to go with them. I'll just stop, you know. And just, it would just go like that, you know. At the end, the people I was hanging out with just scared the shit out of me. And I remember telling my mom, hey, I think I have a problem, and I'm so grateful that I had a family that I could be honest with. And I used to hate my dad, but that's a big reason why, is my family wasn't afraid of alcohol or drugs. They weren't afraid to hear, you know, you might have a problem. They weren't trying to sweep anything under the rug. And I'm so grateful for that today, although I used to not be. And I remember going out to breakfast with my mom, sitting across the table from her and saying, hey, I think I have a problem with this substance. And she wasn't like, oh, shit, she knew, you know, like, she knew, she's not stupid. She very calmly said, well, okay, what do you want to do with this? Do you want to get, you know, some help? You should probably maybe start going to meetings or go to an outpatient program. And I was just like, whoa, programming? And it had the word program in it. And I'm like, no, I just think that I need someone to know. You guys know, then I'll probably try to cut it down a little bit, you know. Just check on me every couple days, you know, and so on, you know, and so went my using and drinking, and I'm grateful that I think I always kind of knew I had a problem, and so it wasn't like I was trying to, like, spread it out. I was knowing that eventually I'd need to stop, so I was just, like, hardcore, foot to the floor, you know, like, trying to go hard. I felt like every time was going to be my last time. And because of that, it did quickly, you know, I was able to say, shit, this isn't going to last very much longer, you know. So I tried getting sober, and I actually did get sober for about 6 months, I think. I went to meetings, although I don't remember a single one. So that's why, you know, I obviously was not listening. I was not learning. I was there to maybe meet a sober boyfriend, maybe. That's going to help, maybe. You know, maybe meet a couple of cool people, and most of them were old, and the boys that did approach me, I was not digging, so it didn't really work out. So I actually relapsed Mother's Day. Sorry, Mom. I relapsed Mother's Day, and I remember specifically, and I don't really... It wasn't a different day. It wasn't anything, you know, I was feeling. I just had friends over, and they were drinking, and I, you know, had done that before, and people had been over before drinking. Obviously, I was setting myself up, but I walked over to the fridge, didn't say a word to anybody, and popped open that cap and down that first beer in probably 30 seconds, and everyone was like, yeah, she's back! That's exactly like none of my friends, you know, my friends were nothing but excited that I was drinking again because I was the person that everyone laughed at, you know, that everyone, I was always going to spend the money on the drugs. I was always going to buy more because I didn't like to drink by myself. I don't like to use by myself. So, of course, these people were like, hell yeah, she's back, you know, and we went, you know, to Save Mart, got some more bottles. I ended up using substances that night, woke up on the couch with no clothes on, woo, you know, did it again, not with anybody, but, and that's even worse, like, what the fuck was I doing, way worse, come on, I didn't sleep with anybody, just late, anyways, yeah, it was awful, you know, and within a 3 month period, I was a different person. It was so crazy, that progression, that time, after coming back, it was ridiculous. I did get to a point of drinking or using every day, basically. I was drunk at work, you know. I had my styrofoam cup at work, and it was just sick. And I ended up you know, hanging out with like best friends with this new drug dealer. Awesome. Awesome. Good friend. And he was obviously pretty new at what he was doing. He passed out on my couch with his truck keys on the coffee table. So he obviously was pretty new. Grabbed those truck keys, went out to his truck, and I stole probably close, I don't know, a lot of cocaine and the rest of the money he had in the truck. And I was gone. 7 in the morning. It was 7 in the morning, I was gone. Called a couple people, and I was gone. I don't know how long I was gone. I was gone for close to a week, and I don't remember one day. And that's kind of abnormal for me when I'm using substances also. I think of it as a blessing now, because using and drinking even, I was terrified. The people I was with, what we were doing, the couple times I would come to, was terrifying. And I couldn't use or drink enough to not be scared and not know that this was not good. The situation I was in was not good. I remember checking my messages on my phone and having my, you know, my family members calling, just, you know, bawling. Just please tell us where you are, you know. Not mad at all. They were just so scared. And just being like, we need to go to the store, I need to get more alcohol, you know? I knew it was gonna end, and I was so scared, and just, I was done. I was done. It was, I was done. I knew I was done. We were on our way home, and something in me changed, and I was like, okay, that was the last go around, really, this time. And, I walked in, and gosh, my stepdad was just like, oh shit. You know, saw me walk in and just walked away like, oh wow. You know, I probably was like, hell. I called my mom and she was like, no, you're done. Like, you're gonna get out of the house or you're gonna go to rehab. Your dad doesn't want you to live with him anymore. I had lived with my sister, I had lived with my dad, I had lived with my mom, I had burned every bridge. I lived in an apartment at this time. I hadn't paid rent this last month. Now I had a drug dealer, you know, on my back. An hour after I got home, the sheriff came and wanted to file a report. You know, the drug dealer's been calling, harassing your family, threatening your family. He's actually in jail now. Obviously, he wasn't very good at his job, like I said earlier. He wasn't too smart. I was like, I'm going to jail, you know? I was the one who had stolen, and, you know, I'd been to jail before. I had done the whole DUI thing. I never got that taken care of, and I did not like jail. It was not fun. That wasn't fun. So I didn't want to do that again. But really, to be honest, I really was done. It wasn't like, oh, I want to hide, oh, you know, maybe I can still get away with this or whatever. I really was done. And I don't know, I can't explain that except the grace of God. Like, honestly, this freaking peace came over me. We get on the phone going to, and my mom's saying, hey, just tell them that you're suicidal even, so you can get in now. And I wasn't, like, telling my mom that, but I'm like, I am fucking suicidal, mom. Like, hate first revival, but I'm pretty much at that end, you know? You know, we had talked about programs before, and they brought up Teen Challenge, and it was a free program. And something like that, like, I was just like, I don't want to have to put my family through any more of this shit. Like, insurance was just running into wall, and I was just like, fuck it, let's do it. Like, a year, at least I'll have a year away from the drug dealer. We won't have to worry about that. By the time I get back, that should be cleared up, you know? And I was just bummed at what I put my family through, and I really think that I just wanted to get out of their hair for a little bit. I wanted them to have peace, and I thought maybe this really will be something for me that I can really do. And I remember saying yes, and just like a flood of peace coming over me. I can't explain it. Definitely spiritual something. There is a higher power. And I went. I think like 3 or 4 days later, I was like, please get me in. It was almost 4th of July, and I begged her. I'm like, please just get me in before 4th of July. I'm afraid that someone will get a hold of me. I've tried to do this over thing at home. doesn't really work out for me. And so she did. And I went there and I was just like freaking stoked about it. Like I walked in smiling. I knew that this really could be a new life for me. And I took it seriously. And it did a lot of good for me. It really, really did. I needed something super extreme like that. And it was very extreme. Super, super extreme. But I'm grateful today. There's some issues I'm still working out. You know, it was half good, half bad. No. It was good. It saved my life. But I ended up, I'm really good at being a chameleon, and I'm really good at putting on the act, and I'm really good at saying what I'm supposed to say. And sometimes I really freaking feel like I mean it. I really don't even know when I'm lying to myself sometimes. But that's what sponsors are for. So I did well there. I strived there. I had lots of people say, hey, you need to become a counselor. You know, I was the one picked to pray before chapel. You know, I was the one to, Hannah, you need to get this girl under your wing. Help her out. And I took pride in that. And all of a sudden, I became this hero. You know, my family they were so proud of me. And I was just like, I'm going to change the world. God has called me to change the world, you know? And I used, you know, my whole path as God, that was God's will for my life. To get to this place, and now I can help save the world. That's honestly what I felt like. And it sounds so sick to me now, and it's embarrassing to even say, but I wholeheartedly believe that. And Catherine was saying in the beginning, you know, don't be overzealous or, like, don't come off too religious, you know. That was me. I was the person that you did not want to be around. And it was all fear-based. It wasn't like I was, like, wanting to feel better. Well, yeah, of course, too. People always want to feel like they're doing better than other people. Anyways, a lot of junk happened there, and I started working for that program. I went to a year in Bible college, and a lot of good stuff happened there, and a lot of bad stuff happened there. I started working for that ministry, and something was missing. I was not happy. I started seeing things I did not like, and I just was like, what the fuck is this about? This is ridiculous. Like, this isn't right. These people are supposed to be what I'm looking up to. So I started secretly drinking, and I drank in between there too. I wanted to stay sober. That's the deal. You can want to stay sober, but God gives us tools called AA for me and the 12 steps. I had no clue about those tools yet though. So I started working for that program, and I really started drinking a lot again. And I was just like, I'm just not going to use a substance. That's what my real problem was the drugs. But I don't know, I would take 2 drinks of a beer and I'd be looking for my substance again. It goes hand in hand with me. And today I can look back and thank God for that, for those relapses. I had one more pretty good run, and I went missing from my work. And I'll say this, I would go out the night before and drink, and then be behind a pulpit the next day preaching. Sick. At a rehab. Something wasn't right. Thanks. Love you too, girl. I went, I had a good run. Thank God I had a good run. Thank God that I'm an all or nothing person, because it didn't take long, again, to lose everything. Again. Lost my job, lost my house, lost my roommate, lost the church I worked for. They no longer wanted to have anything to do with me. I was the problem, and that really irritated me. But there was another girl from the church that was drinking with me. Why are they not telling her to leave, you know? What's up with that? I was pretty sick, and they knew I was pretty sick, and I'm grateful today. And I came back home, 24 years old, right at the bottom again. What the hell happened? I really wanted to stay sober. What happened? You know, and this time also, my dad's in a full-blown relapse, and I'm able to see what I'm headed for. He's locking himself up in the house with guns, completely out of his mind. He's not going to make it, Hannah, any day now. Probably we'll fight then. And I was scared again. Scared enough to say, okay, gotta try something different. That didn't work, you know. So I came to AA. And I actually listened. Thank God. And I first came here with a real jacked up sense that I was supposed to say, you guys had it all wrong, you know. Why didn't you guys call your higher power Jesus Christ? That's what it is, you know. This isn't good kind of deal. And I was like that for a good couple months. And I came because I saw time there that I didn't even see necessarily in the ministry. And I came because people welcomed me. And I remember the first time I cussed again because I was super religious, you know. I didn't cuss. I didn't do anything. And I remember the first time I cussed in a meeting. Super ridiculous, right? But I felt like everyone was going to be like, and like, I was able to say it and it felt good. And I know that sounds bad, but it felt good. I was able to release it and I was able to be angry and I was able to be confused. I was able to be confused. And those were all the things that I was not allowed to be at the church. When I had questions, it was like, Hannah, you know this. You know, like, no, go this way. And I was trying to make things gray, and I'm like, but what about this? What about this? No? Mm-hmm. No. It's this, and this. And I was able to be gray here. I was able, people hugged me, and it wasn't like, and I was so sick. Gosh, in the beginning, I just remember being so nervous, and I felt like everyone, like, judged me. Like, everywhere I went, I'm like, these people are judging me. Like, they're judging me, and I hated that feeling, and I didn't realize until, you know, a good while in that it was because that's how I was. I judged every single person I came in contact with. And I think it was probably, like, a good 6 months until I really started grasping honest, open-minded and willing. Open-minded was like, and it's still a very hard word for me, to be completely honest. I am still walking through this process of finding out, you know, and learning. My God hasn't changed, but my view is changing of my God. And it's a super freaking scary process. It's super scary sometimes, and I'm super uncomfortable most of the time. All the time, but I know it's going to get better. And I'm about 6 months in, I started being open-minded and willing to take suggestions from people I thought were crazy. Literally. I was like, these people are crazy, but how are they staying sober and I'm not? Because I knew I wanted to stay sober. It's never been kind of a question, and I'm grateful. I think that's a gift from God. I think that's a gift from my higher power that I, you know, honestly wanted to stay sober from day one. I'm scared, dude. I saw my dad, I see my dad, and I don't want to be that. And I still drive that around a lot. I still have a lot of fear that I'm going to be just like him, and I still have a lot of resentment, and I'm walking through that today, and it's not easy. But it's worth it because I'm changing. My life is changing. I moved to Porterville, and I never really did anything. I was just like that person that went to meetings. But gosh, I think that God knows us and knows what we can take and what we can't, because when I look back, I feel like it's happened just the way it's supposed to. I didn't do shit for the first year, nothing, but stay sober and go to meetings. That's it. And that was the only thing I did right. Sponsor? No. Step? Mm-mm. And what was crazy is I was still sober longer than I'd ever been sober in the church, honestly. So I'm like, okay, something's happening. Something's different, you know? And I moved to White City. I got married. Whoa, that was crazy. Got married to an atheist. That was crazy. That was huge for me, though. And, like, I went to beauty school. I remember, you know, people said, you can do whatever the hell you want to do, man. You don't have to be afraid. Because I was always like, I could never go to beauty school. I heard about girls in the bathroom doing cocaine lines. Mm-mm. Not going to make it there, you know? And I had a couple amazing people in my life saying, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. If God's given you that desire, you can do it. And you can stay sober with him. You know, and I went to beauty school and it was awesome. There was no cocaine in the bathroom. None at all. There was just a bunch of hungover girls every day. They come to school super hungover. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm feeling great. You know, like, sorry about you guys. It was not hard to stay sober. I was feeling really, really good. And I met someone in my life she's my best friend, and she has never set foot in a church, and she's the best person I've ever met. And she's like 5 years younger than me. And she taught me so much about love and friendship. And it was freaking God. God was like, hey, look, she doesn't know me, and she's, you know, she's awesome, Hannah. You need to stop freaking judging people, you know, that don't have the same God as you or whatever, you know? And that was a journey. And then I met this freaking atheist guy that was just way too hot for his own good, you know? And I was like, I couldn't help myself. I remember we started texting each other, and I'm like, this is bad. No, this shouldn't be right, you know? We hung out the first night, and I was just like, I hadn't kissed someone. I hadn't, like, nothing for a long time. And I tell him, I'm like, I don't even want to kiss my husband until our wedding day. And he's like, okay. Do you want to come inside? And I'm like, maybe I'll just meet my mom. Okay. That night he kissed me. Woo. I was like, but I loved it, you know? I loved it. And so was my journey to, again, let go of my judgmental thoughts and attitudes, because he was so much more spiritual than I was. And he was actually working a program. He was actually doing the steps, and we got in a relationship. We got really close very quickly, got married very quickly. Within a year, we were married. I don't regret that. Some people were like, you know, don't get in a relationship. I was like 6 months sober when we started dating, and everybody's story is different, but that was part of my story, and it changed my life, and it is changing my life. He's an amazing, amazing man. He teaches me about love every day, in practical ways that I had no idea what to do, you know? And that was not part of my story. And then part of my story was with my cellia. And actually, having enough problems in my relationship that I'm like, I need to get a sponsor. My husband's begging me to get a sponsor. That's probably time for me to get a sponsor. So I took my time and did. I got a sponsor, and everything is changing in such a drastic way in my life. It's hard. It is. I'm really not good with authority, and I'm really good at being like, oh my freaking gosh. Are you kidding me? Don't go to meetings with my husband? What? You know, there's a lot of things that I'm learning I need to change, and she's totally walking me through learning this new God, because I had a huge resentment and a huge fear. You know, I thought that I was serving this God that was supposed to keep me sober, but God gives us the tools. It's about action, you know? He takes us to the water, we drink, you know? And I'm someone that needs them. I need them. I need them every day. They're the only thing that is actually physically changing my life, that's keeping me accountable to physically changing my life, to telling me how to. I have no clue how to. No clue. And I've read those steps a billion times, and I'm like, and I was that person that was like, I know what they do, I know what that's going to do for me, but that's going to be a lot of work. I'm not sure I want to do that, you know? And I'm still that person every day, but I have someone, and I have a support system today that's crazy. Like, I was so nervous when I walked in, and then I had like 20 girls be like, oh, we're so excited, give me a hug, and I'm like, wow, these are my family. These people support me. They don't judge me. I'm not going to get up there. I'm not behind a pulpit today where people are like, nope, she said that wrong. That's not how the Bible says it, you know? You guys love me how I am, and I'm not perfect today. I'm just on my way, you know? I'm never going to get there. But my life is getting better. Every day is getting better. I love saying sober is a huge part of it, but I was almost 2 years sober, and I heard a girl cry because she was so grateful about being sober. And I was like, I'm not doing something right. Something needs to change. I cried because I was so grateful. And then the last week, I know I cried several times about just being so grateful. You know, that girl I relapsed with, she's still going in circles relapsing. There's so many people in my hometown that I'm like, gosh, man, you know? And not even people that are struggling drinking, there's just suffering people out there that have no clue how to live life. And we get this amazing program that tells us how to live life step after step after step. One, here's one. And then after one, you do two. And I need that, you know. I try to overthink something I was reading in the book the other day also that was saying the alcoholic cannot afford to be the brainstorm or the grouch. And that is me. You know, I can't overthink it because I try to all the time. And I'm like, no, Hannah, there's just freaking steps. Like, you just follow the steps, you follow suggestions, that's it, you know. And I can't afford to be angry anymore. And I can't say that I'm there. Probably not there. I'm just working through it, you know. I'm just learning day by day how to even give up that anger, how to forgive someone. It's not easy. It's hard. And it's not a one-time deal. It's an everyday deal. And I'm grateful that I get to do that every day today. I'm grateful that I get to stand up and say I'm an alcoholic, I'm sick, and that's so important for me to get up and humble myself and acknowledge that I have a disease. I don't want to think that day to day. I don't want to think that I'm different. I've always tried just to be the same, you know? But today I'm learning how to be grateful to be different and how to humble myself and say I'm sick. I'm still not very awesome at calling my sponsor when I'm going through a problem. I usually call her afterwards and I'm like, oh, I didn't know. And she's like, I'm getting better. You know why I'm getting better? Because I've tried it once and it got a little bit better. And then I tried it again and it got a little bit better. What do you know? And sometimes I honestly have no clue how it works, but I do know that our higher power has a lot to do with it, you know? I mean, so we're just saying, oh my gosh, like, how did this program even get started? Like, what an amazing God we have. Seriously, it's a miracle, you know? And I can't remember her name. That's awful. But he just said, you know, he also said, I'm really bad at names, I'm sorry. Don't take it personal. He said, we're all miracles here. And I'm like, and sometimes a lot of the time I'm like, that's so cheesy. But when I sit and think about it, it's so true. So true, because alcohol is so baffling, cunning, and powerful. So I'm still a newcomer, so I'm not going to say, he's a newcomer, keep coming back. I'm going to say to myself, keep coming back. David, someone says, you know, don't kill yourself before the first 5 years because you won't know who you're killing. And I hate that. I'm like, I don't know who you're then. Like, but then also that's great hope for me. To think that I'm going to get better and better every year. Thank you guys for letting me share. All right. Glad to watch. That's all I got.